as the roar of the crowd died to a silence. Two voices emerged. Square One from the city of wind.
Chicago.
And Old Diesel from the city with 8 million stars.
From New York Street Talk, America's best. From New York Street Talk, America's best.
Join for the cause of presenting and discussing the world of hip hop without any filters.
Let me talk, Carol.
Translate that for us.
That's the answer.
Ugh. We go to Chicago. Tell them we're not for sale.
The creation of enormous magnitude was formed.
Hip hop is writing and rhyming. To hold the mic in your hand and crush whoever's in front of you. That's hip hop.
I am here to present
L-Side Radio.
Start it.
Johnny on the track.
Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team fucking here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Nigga, started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here. Nigga, started from the bottom, now we here.
All right, welcome back to Illside Radio for, I think, the last time of 2013. We'll see how it goes. I'm Gabe Mendoza, and my co-host is...
Ready. Destroy everyone's year end list.
No doubt, right? Everybody got something to say, or everybody has already said it, but here we are, and we're about to say what? Let's say our little piece, Illside Radio style. On a personal note, what did 2013 mean to you? Like, how did this year really stand out for you personally?
Personally, family, man.
Yeah.
It's all about family. I'm not one of those, broadcasters and shit.
Right.
And I'm like Kathy Lee and shit talking about Connor all fucking day, but family was very important to me this year.
Yeah.
And just improving myself mentally, trying to improve myself physically, trying to take your example. You improved yourself physically. And just building for a stronger and more powerful 2014.
Yeah, for real, right? I would co-sign that. Yeah, the weight loss thing was really big for me. Haven't been too good at it during the holiday season, but I'm turning it around come January 1. It took me like the end of the year to finally figure out what I need to do, but I'm here. And, I think 2014, I know everybody says they're going to turn up the next year, but I think 2014 is going to be your year that we really just crank it all the way to 10, and just really go all in. So other than that,
incorporate, just take it further, man. Just take it further.
Right. And so, family stuff as well. It's been incredible. A really great year. Just utilizing the time better, and great music this year. So I can't, no complaints about the quality of music that came out this year.
Let me tell you something, man. There's a lot of people complaining about the state of hip hop.
Man,
so much dope shit dropped this year, man. If you depended on the radio, then you fucking lost. You deserve what you get.
I can't do it, man. I don't know what people are listening to if they're bitching about.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's so much stuff that I couldn't get to everything. That's how much stuff it was. And which is almost every year, but just seeing more so this year that every week a mixtape, an album,
Yes.
I know I'm one of those people that I like to sit with the record. I just don't want to breeze through it.
You didn't even have a chance to sit with anything.
Like you get one or two listens if you're lucky, and then you got to go to the next thing or you're going to miss it. You miss the train, And, mixtapes only have like a, 12-hour lifespan anyways. Yeah, there was so much stuff this year. I don't know who's complaining about what, but they really need to shut up. Okay, shut up. Where is Trick Daddy, by the way? Can somebody put an APB on Trick Daddy?
So
what we're going to do is we're going to run down Odizo and I our top 10 favorite albums of the year. We may hit on some of the same ones, or we might have some mix and match. But it should be pretty fun. I kind of ordered mine from 10 to 1 as far as the best. I don't know how you got yours, Odizo, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll walk.
And then you tell me if where my scores on yours, if it scores at all. I'm going to start off with number 10, Ghostface Killah, 12 Reasons to Die. He and Adrian Young's collaboration, the storytelling of Tony Stark's sort of like a mafioso resurrected, reincarnated as a record, and haunts those that did him bogus. I thought it was a fantastic record, man. Adrian Young really shined on this and really took Ghostface back to that, you know, that early, mid-90s RZA-esque type of production.
I didn't really feel it, man.
Really?
And it wasn't because of Adrian Young. It was because of Ghostface. His energy was not where it was. Either it's not mixed right or he's offbeat. And it's not a Master Ace offbeat on purpose. It sounds very awkward. I just wasn't really feeling it like that, man. I can't lie to you. I wouldn't say it was whack, but as good a storyteller as Ghostface Killah is, I don't think this album is even in his top 5 or 6.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I can't lie to you. It had its moments, but I just wasn't enthralled. You know, Ghostface Killah usually brings you into his world. I wasn't enthralled. I wasn't captivated by this one.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked it a lot. I kind of like those conceptual albums, you know, and sometimes we get them, sometimes we don't. And I love the what Adrian Young did with the production on this, so I don't know. I guess for some it might have just been a miss.
I liked Adrian Young. He did his part.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I liked it. It took me back to some of the older Wu albums where all the figures, like the members, played like little roles in the movie, you know, yeah, like Only Built. But I can see that could be a hang up.
Adrian Young was very close to RZA-like.
Oh, yeah.
Those beats were very authentic. He sounded very close to an early awkward RZA. So from the authenticity standpoint, he nailed it. I have no complaints with him on the album.
Right, right. Supposedly Adrian Young is working with Madlib or Oh No or someone from Stone Throws. I'm not sure. No. The Souls of Mischief. I heard a rumor that he's producing their next album. So that's a fact. That was interesting to me too. I'm like, oh, I wonder how that's gonna go. So it should be it. Do you want to just name your 10 or where yours came in at?
Drop yours, I'll drop mine, and then we'll kind of bring them back together.
Cool. 9, No Malice, Hear Him Yay.
I rated that. I think that I think his album was better than Pusha T's, man.
Without a doubt. Without a fucking doubt.
Complex with that shit, man. I'm going to keep it funky with you. Their relationship is very cozy.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no malice. Especially when you look at the degree of difficulty, right? When you look at how hard it is to make a quote-unquote positive album, and the way he nailed it without sounding preachy,
right?
I tip my hat to him, man. I tip my hat totally to him, man.
Yeah, I love this album. I think anybody and everybody should hear this album at least once.
I think so too.
Just because I think the truth that speaks through the music of No Malice being challenged, or his faith being challenged sort of by the hip-hop aura, and really, you know, grabbing a hold of you and making you be someone you don't want to be, but because the lights are so bright, you just don't recognize that you're steering wrong. I think that, you know, like you said, he didn't get it on the soapbox either. It was as real and as hard an album as we heard in 2013. No Malice killed it with this one.
I totally agree. I couldn't disagree at all, man. I listened to that album for a while, man. Just trying to find out if it was up to par. Because, you know, there's a novelty to positive albums, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But once you give them, you know, once you give them the once-over, once you hold those albums accountable, you know, then you gotta see, well, is this shit really good, or am I just giving it a pass because it's like a pro, you know, it's a positive album?
Right. I don't think so. I think people try to do the positive stuff or try to not swear and keep it clean but with a hard edge, and I never heard anything like it before. So I no malice in my mind is the first one to pull it off, and you know, here he is at number 9 on mine. Did he rank in yours?
Yeah. Yeah, he might have got honorable mention, or he was right around 10 or 9, but yeah.
Ah, cool. All right,
I dig that album, man. I can't lie. I really, really like that album.
My number 8 is Killer Mike and LP, Run the Jewels. The way that they followed up on rap music, I think 9-10 months later, and then LP's rapping on this one versus just doing the production on rap music. I don't know, this combination seems to work really, really well, and I didn't see it coming when they started collaborating.
To me, it sounded like an LP album with Killer Mike rapping on it. It didn't have the symmetry. It wasn't as good as rap music to me. It didn't have that natural, you know, it wasn't, I hate the organic because it's like hippie shit, but it didn't have that zest like rap music did. It was dope, but I didn't rate it.
Oh, wow.
Because once you have proven that you can drop that, you got to drop that.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was really good. I think it's as good as people thought it was. I'm one of those. I feel like it probably got caught up in some other releases at the time, and it didn't really get the whirlwind that it deserved. But cause I haven't really listened to it in a while. But I've gone back and checked it out. I still find myself enjoying it. So that clocked in at number 8 for me. Number 7, Chicago's own Chance the Rapper with Acid Rap. This is sort of. It's marketed as a mixtape, but to me it's an album quality production or style. So I like it a lot.
I think that he cemented himself as probably the best drill rapper with that record.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't really associate him with the drill sound considering
he's drilling though. He's with that movement, so you can't really, you can't divorce him from it. I feel you. I agree with you that he doesn't really, lyrically, he doesn't sound like him, but that's their genre, man.
I mean, I think like a King Louis is like a drill, or Chief Keef, like those are drill guys. Chance on this, I mean, in the sense of the commentary and the subject matter, it's in the very same realm. As the previously mentioned, but I think the way that he delivered it as a 19, 20-year-old kid talking about struggling on the south and west side of the city of Chicago and just being so authentic and genuine with it, where people who otherwise don't listen to hip-hop would give this a chance and are in love with the album. I mean, it's kind of like, I think it's a little bit oversaturated by some of the love that it's got from all the publications and blogs. I don't think that
we did that shit.
Yeah.
When it came out. I don't remember seeing it all over the place.
No, it wasn't. But I really thoroughly enjoy the production on this. Jake One, who did the title track, which I love, and you were giving me shit about like how much I was in love with Jake One's production on that. And I think that it's this kid is really gonna be. And then he just did a song with fucking Justin Bieber. That's incredible. You know, the guy has so much talent, and he's definitely going to be skyrocketing in 2014, whatever the hell he decides to do next.
Yeah, man. To me, this was like, this record did for drill music what Rich Forever did to trap music.
Ah, yeah.
It was a guy who could actually rhyme, performing in a genre where a lot of the people can't really rhyme, where the message or perhaps the mood is more important than the skill level. But Chance the Rapper brought a high skill level to the drillers. And I think for that, he should be commended. And I had that also.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't rate it as an album because, you know, it didn't have a barcode. But
I hear
this,
you.
And I feel like this and Lloyd Banks' Failure Is Not an Option were the best two mixtapes this year.
Yeah, Lloyd Banks killed it with that one. Absolutely. My number 6 is Tyler, the Creator's Wolf, his follow-up to Goblin. We talked about this in depth when it came out, that he was such a much more improved artist and MC, writer on this record. The production wasn't as good as Goblin, but we both thought it was super really good.
Yeah, I think that he was a better rhymer on this, but not as good. It doesn't draw itself in as cohesively as Goblin did. To me, it wasn't a better album, but he's clearly a better MC.
Yeah.
I didn't rate it because I thought Doris was better. Sweatshirt Earl was better. So I don't feel that two albums like that should be on the top 10 list. So I took Doris instead, but that was a dope. Wolf was dope.
Yeah, yeah. I like that he was a little bit more open and a little bit more human on this one, talking about like his father.
Yeah, he's not trying to be some kind of wild dude on it.
Yeah. Exactly, and it's just more of a, like I said, a little humane style to it. Like, the guy actually still hurts and has some father issues going on there. But I'm glad you mentioned Earl Sweatshirt. That comes in at number 5 for me with Doris. Did I have a problem putting them back to back? Yes. Do I care? No. So Earl Sweatshirt, another, it's like, you heard about the kid. Everybody's read the stories, followed the story, and was waiting for this guy to put out an album to really see if he deserved the accolades that everybody was writing about him. And the kid delivers, hands down.
Yeah, man. He can rhyme, man. He can rhyme. You know what his album reminded me of? Sean Price. Kimbo Price. Mike Tyson. It reminded me of Sean Price's Mike Tyson. There's no hooks on this shit. There's no syrup. It's just bars and beats. That's it.
Yeah.
But it's like from a younger dude's perspective. But it reminded me of that Sean Price. It's like, you know, you hear all of these, right? Like, you take a Kendrick Lamar and he's doing all that fantastic shit. And then you hear other dudes and they singing, or you hear other dudes and they trying to do complex rhymes. This is just dope beats and dope rhymes. The end.
Right. And what I like about this year in particular was that Chance the Rapper and Earl Sweatshirt, two guys who are 19, 20 years old and so far ahead of everybody else. What I said is, like, what I love about the Earl Sweatshirt and Chance the Rapper is that these guys are only 19, 20 years old and they're so far ahead of the pack.
Yeah.
You just know that they're going to be the, you know, one through five, they're gonna fit in there as far as the top MCs in the next several years to come.
Well, you know who had one of the dopest albums this year for me was a young cat who I was not a fan of, ASAP Rocky.
Yeah,
and that album is one of the dopest records out this year, man. And it's a long album. You know, I don't really like long albums, but he had just the right amount of guest stars. He changed his BPMs. His songwriting is solid. He can, you know, he not, I wouldn't say he was nice. He ain't nice. But that guy can rhyme, man. That guy can rhyme, and he delivered a very good album this year, man. Mm-hmm. I like it better than Doris. The production was crazy. And it was so varied. The beats didn't sound alike, man.
Right.
And the album sounded bigger than it was. And for a new guy to come out like that, especially when he's disregarded as a rhymer, I have to respect that. So that's where I am on that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think I gave A$AP Rocky's a 4 or somewhere around there.
Yeah, that's about right. 4.
Yeah, it's a 4 album, 4 mic album. Number 4 for me was SkyZoo and Atman Wonder, who just recently released an Ode to Reasonable Doubt. They just got it right under the deadline. But this album, like, everybody has to hear this shit. It's like, especially if you're a fan of Reasonable Doubt, just the way that they took it, reconstructed it, and it still is as good as the original. And I think SkyZoo's the only person that could have pulled off Jay's rhymes and added his shit in there as well. And it doesn't it doesn't skip a beat at all or miss a step. These two definitely pulled this thing off where it could have felt flat easily.
Yeah, he's the only guy right now that has that kind of swagger and the density, the rhyme density. He's just a different kind of rhyme. And then when he sat there and got, when he went out and got Sha Stimuli and Torre for that Bring It On shit, yo, Shy Stimuli is nice, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. It's not a lot of people that's nice.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that I'm glad they left a couple songs off there. I couldn't imagine him doing like Ain't No and
yeah, I'm glad he took that. he didn't try to do Cashmere Thoughts either.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad they it's 9 songs. You know, it gives you an idea of what Reasonable Doubt was all about. So good for them. Eminem, Marshall Mathers LP 2. M, in my opinion, back to the hard rhyming. Kind of dumped some of that silly, the stupid voice and all that dumb shit, and just got back to being the MC. And I think this record is really like a straight hip hop record, not like Relapse or Recovery, which I thought was a little bit soft. I think it's a really hard record for Eminem, and I liked it a lot.
I thought he rhymed his ass off on this, but I could give a fuck about it, man. I can't lie to you. He was just whining all over the record about why he does the things he does.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I don't give a fuck, man. If you're going to be a bully, man. Own it and just go out and finish the game. Well, I was bullied as a kid and this and that. I don't want to hear that shit, man. Rhyme. Rhyme, motherfucker. Rhyme. I don't want to hear none of that shit, man. You know? It's just... I had no interest in it. After I heard it, it was like, all right, I'm out. Thanks.
It was just a one take. Like, I heard it. All right, move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked it a little bit more than that. Obviously, I put it pretty high.
Yeah.
Quick thought. Who had the better rhyme this year? Was it Kendrick's or M on Rap God?
Kendrick's rhyme was not dope, man. It was all pyrotechnics. It was no lyricism involved. He jack rhymes from Corrupt. And it just like lyrically, what do you take from that verse? Were you astounded lyrically by anything in that verse? No. No. There's nothing quotable in that entire verse. Except calling people out. There's nothing mind-numbing about that verse. I'ma murder you niggas. Okay. Alright. You named a bunch of regular niggas who ain't nice, for the most part, or who are not transcendent lyrically, and say you're better than them. Okay, now what?
Right.
Oh, by the way, you just said this verse on Jay-Z's album, on the remix to Kill My Vibe, but you didn't name anybody. Now you jack some Corrupt rhymes and name somebody. I thought Big Sean lyrically had a better verse. I can't lie to you. The Big Sean's verse was doper, but Kendrick's delivery just takes it, you know, it takes it from the realm of normal to something different. But without that delivery, Big Sean's verse is way better. And Jay Electronica's verse is very slept on that song, man. People don't really pay attention to it, or they talk that shit about, oh, it's so calm. What the fuck is he talking about? You know what he's talking about, man. Stop the bullshit. You know, I think people go a little too far and try to dismiss people who are rhyming about something. And I freely admit, Jay Electronica regularly suffers from MC ADD. You know, he doesn't really stick to topic a lot, and I dig it. But don't act like that nigga wasn't talking about nothing, man. Y'all need to stop that bullshit.
Right.
You know, he nice. You gotta get... The fact that ain't nobody heard a thing from him in 2 years, but people still wondering about his album, but you know how good he is. So, you know, it is what it is. But Rap God shits all over that Kendrick verse. I don't even like Eminem. That Rap God shit blows that away. Slices it, dices it, chops it up.
Ah, for sure, for sure. My number 2, Kanye West with Yeezus. This was debatable.
Man, I fucks with Yeezus hard, man.
Could have gone number 1.
I love that record, man.
It is, yeah. And it bugs me when people really say that it's too hard, or... He's said some questionable things. I'm like, he just made a straight hip-hop record his last go-around to feed the fans who were pissed off at 808s. And now he comes back and gives you something completely different than what he did a year and a half ago, or what he did differently on Watch the Throne. He gave you a completely different plate of delicious music, as I probably coined it, and people are pissed off. I'm like, why would you be pissed off? It's fucking awesome. They don't even realize how awesome this shit is, you know?
Yeah, you know, so I at a certain point, you can't take these people seriously, because you wanted somebody, and what was wild about the shit was that Yeezus, and the lyrics on Yeezus encapsulated so many issues that people were having this year. It's broke nigga racism. It's that don't touch anything in the store, and it's rich nigga racism. It's come back to this five more. These things are real, man. Yo, that Strange Fruit shit, man. It's the most fucking powerful song that came out this year.
Mm-hmm.
You took the most powerful protest song of all time, mixed it with No Limit C Murder shit, and it worked. This shit's fucking brilliant, man. I don't think that people can separate the message from the messenger. And I think that's one of the big problems with Yeezus. If Immortal Technique dropped Yeezus, they would be calling him a god. And people are very selective about what they protest. Can't you just drop the verse talking about he a god or something? Nobody protests that. Kanye said, I am a god. And he explained to you, you know, that song is about the deification of pop music, you know, of popular culture people, you know, and how that deification makes these people feel like Teflon.
Mm-hmm.
How many people you seen this year do wild shit and get away with it? You know? Jay-Z called Harry Belafonte a boy. That's like saying Martin Luther King is a boy. Harry Belafonte paid for his fucking funeral and kept his family eating. The nerve of you, you fucking cocksucker. But nobody says shit. He been calling himself Jehovah for 10 years.
Right.
Since 96. Nobody says a thing. Kanye says, I am a god. And explains what he's talking about. And everybody has a problem with it. It goes to show you how people like to pile on the easy win. People think, you know, people like to kick people that they won't get criticized for kicking. And I think that's where Kanye is now. But yeah, man, I fucks with him hard, man.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. I have nothing negative to say about it.
But personally, number one, you already know.
Nothing was the same, man.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now he had the song of the year.
Yep.
Then he had the club song of the year with that.
I got my eye on you.
That shit is still banging. That shit came out in like February. Then he came out with the Wu-Tang Forever. Can't fuck with Drake. Call him light skin, call him a pussy, call him whatever you want, man. Anybody fuck with Drake. Period.
I think it's almost similar.
Commercially?
Yeah.
Songwriting wise, nobody's fucking with him, man. Nobody right now.
He had 4 top 10 singles in 2013. M had 3. So.
And he got the best song on Beyonce album.
Which one was... I haven't listened to Beyonce's album, to be honest. I've heard it.
Take my word for it. She got a real dope song with Jay-Z. Jay-Z ruined with his verse. But funny, Ike Turner. Shit was garbage. Song is dope, though. But Drake, the best commercial rapper out right now. Bar none.
Yeah.
If you want a hit, guess who you going to get? Alright, then.
Exactly.
Okay.
No, it's what you were saying about Kanye, where it's easy to take shots at him because it's an easy target.
Yeah.
And Drake is the same way. Where, I mean, I'm pretty sure you see like the Instagram, like Drake is the kind of dude.
Yeah,
to...
it's annoying to me. I can't lie to you. I ain't got no cape on. I ain't got to save nobody. He's rich. I don't give a fuck about him as a person. I don't know him, but I have a problem with that kind of culture. Because the same people that do that stay defending motherfuckers that give a rat's ass about them. People who drop bullshit albums or try to foist garbage on the people and give them their ass to kiss and they fine with it. Yo, Drake had yet to drop a dud, man. He had his first album. You can tell there was some label interference with it. You know, it was no reason for Young Jeezy to be on there and shit. You know, whatever. But since that second album, man, come on, baby. Two four and a half.
Yep. And I think that's what happened with Thank Me Later, where he was just making a straight rap album. And he since said, he's like, I can't just make a rap album. So...
But see, Drake takes you into his world. It's not a lot of rappers that can do that. You know? That Sky Zoo and Ant-Man Wonder Man, that was my listening experience of the year. I liked the album so much, I bought it. The shit was free. You know how they got that pay your own joint?
Yeah.
And I bought one for somebody else. I couldn't rate it as an album because it's derivative. You know, it's based on an album that exists. So I don't think it's fair. When you already start out with a classic, as long as all you have to do is to maintain that and you good money. So I couldn't rate them the same way I could rate the other one. But that was easily my listening experience of the year, rap-wise. Let's see what you didn't have on you. Marco Polo, Port Authority 2. Very dope.
Oh, yeah.
Very well produced. He had Organized Confusion reunion, which is rare. He had East Coast. He had West Coast. He had Underground. He had people you never heard of. Very dope.
And Michael Rapaport doing the sort of skits in between.
Yeah.
Yep.
Black Milk, No Poison, No Paradise.
Oh, that is right. Yes.
Very, very dope.
Yep.
He has taken a leap as a lyricist. I mean, this is the guy who actually had to hide behind Sean Price and Guilty Simpson on that album. You know, he only had but like 3 verses on the whole record because he really wasn't as good a rhymer as they were. But he has done his homework and he has stepped it up. Odyssey, Tangible Dream, brilliant, brilliant album. I can say without doubt, this guy is the best producer rapper in hip hop. There is not a producer making beats as dope as his that can rhyme like he can. And there's not a person that can rhyme like he can that's making beats like that. So, you know, is he a star? No. But if we talking rhymes, if we talking hip-hop, he is, for my money, the best producer rapper that there is in this genre right now. Couple honorable mentions. AC Alone, Leaning on Slick.
Oh, yeah, he did
very have... mature, mm-hmm. Very jazzy, very dope, very slick. Lack of a better word. I really enjoyed that album. It was a grown man album, man. You get yourself some cognac, a couple ice cubes, man. Sit back in your chair. You put that on, you'd be alright. Mac Wiles, New York, A Love Story. It's really just a mixtape with 90s beats on it. I can't lie to you. He sings and raps. Can't really rhyme. He rhymes just good enough not to be a novelty. He's not nice. And he can't really sing that well. But Salaam Remy hid his vulnerabilities and they came out with a dope album. I'm sure that it'll be Grammy nominated because he's an actor and because, you know, it's got that 90s feel to it. Boldy James, An Alchemist, my first chemistry set. Very hardcore. Very, very hardcore. EPs. Jean Grey dropped the Gotham Down series. Immaculate. Homeboy Sandman had 2 EPs, man. Fertile Crescent, Cool Herc, and All That I Love or something. All That I Love. I don't want to not give my man the credit. I think he's the lyricist of the year. I don't think that there's anybody nicer than him.
Homeboy right? Sandman?
Yeah. Yeah. He's got multiple flows. He write. He's got songs about. He doesn't use profanity at all. He's got songs for the kids. He's got songs for the heads. He got a couple relationship love songs. He got songs to his little nephew. This guy can just do it all, man. He's just a dope rhymer, man. I fuck with him, man. He was definitely, definitively my lyricist of the year, man. You know, with Sky Zoo, there's a certain amount of density. There's a couple of patterns that repeat. All That I Hold Dear is the other one. You know, so while I love Sky Zoo as a rhymer, Homeboy Sandman is just so free of convention and free of patterns that he gets the nod. Von P and Aeon, duly noted. Very dope, very smooth EP. Currency, you know, he's always got
yes.
a few EP projects a year. Bales with his man Young Roddy, very dope. That's my year in hip hop, man. You know, a lot of these records you're not going to see on the Complex list or MTV list or even DX and All Hip Hop and those guys, man. But, you know, you do your homework and you sit down and there's a lot of great hip hop in 2013, man. Check them all out, man. Seriously, man. If you don't want to buy the album, go see a show. You know, they got to eat. They got to feed their families. And, you know, Odyssey, man. Check that guy out, man.
Yeah.
Check him out.
Yeah, I slept on that. I admit, I did miss that.
I tell you what, you listen to that shit, you come back next week, you tell me if it's not what I said it was.
All right. I will take you up on your challenge, sir. Mm-hmm.
It's not in the same lane. You can't compare and say it's, you know, it's better or not better than Drake. It's just different music. But, man.
I'll throw in a couple additional ones that didn't make the list, but were really notable. The Hieroglyphics came back this year. With the Kitchen, I thought it was really dope. Had that 90s essence for all you trapped in the 90s dudes like myself. Definitely feeds the 90s beast. Who else did we... Goody Mob put out Age Against the Machine. I thought that was pretty good as well.
I remember you liked it.
Nice return. What I did like a lot, Daz Dillinger and Dub C, West Coast Gangsta shit. Listen to this regularly as I went running during the summer. Felt like a real G and going through the park.
I still listen to Rich Forever when I'm working out.
There you go.
I haven't gotten that shit out of here. Shit's still on my phone. Oh, The Nothing by Johnny Polygon. Let me tell you something, man. That guy, it was like if Drake was underground and more hip, this is the album that Nothing Was the Same would have been.
Yeah.
So when you get a chance, listen to it. It's very dope, very avant-garde. Is it full of hits? No. But Johnny Polygon is like a cool... If Drake was not simping on hoes, if he was hard on these hoes, this album would have been Nothing Was the Same. So check it out. Johnny Polygon.
Yeah. Static Selector, Extended Play. I thought that was really good.
Solid.
Tech Nine, something else.
Tech Nine, you know what? I did Tech Nine a disservice.
You didn't include
this
him.
This was perhaps his best album to me. He finally got the balance right between being an individual with a different skill set and having the right guest stars, you know, outside of his Strange Music dudes. And I gave this album was legit 4, man. You know, sometimes you can get tired of Tech N9ne or over the course of an album because everything is one speak. This was probably his best song written album, man. So shout out to Tech N9ne, man.
Yeah, for sure.
He gave us a real dope interview. So shout out to him.
Nice. Who else do we have? I don't know. I think I'm going to leave it at that. Trying to go through my list here, see what else I missed. That's going to be it. So I'm going to roll with those that I have there. So, yeah, but it's a really, really great year for hip-hop. Last year was also the Woo Block album came out this year, too. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was this year? Is that this year or last year?
I thought it was this year. I got it on my...
It could have been. That was a hard year. Sheik Looch was the star of that album, man.
Yeah, Sheik Looch is gets slept on. And the Lox just put an EP out. I got to get to it.
Yeah, Styles P had dropped something, too, with... what's the kid? The producer. Spam Jones.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was solid.
Nice.
It wasn't spectacular, but it was solid. It was, if you're trapped in the 90s, do it your life.
The game put out Jesus Peace.
I hated that album, man.
I didn't like it either.
It was so blasphemous. It was just full of shit. It was just a full of shit album, man. It was a step back because I really liked the album that dropped before that.
The Red album?
Yeah. This was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I don't like... Listen, man, you could believe or you could not believe. I don't like people blaspheming on records, man. That shit is not dope at all.
Yeah, crazy. We should have did like a welcome back segment. Eve came back. She put an album out, Lip Lock.
I could not care less.
Wasn't that great? And LL came back too with a new album this year.
I could not care less. LL is one of my favorite MCs of all time. What the hell, man?
And then Snoop Lion went reggae on us with Reincarnated.
I don't want to hear that shit.
It was actually okay. MC8 came back with a really dope Keep It Hood.
You like that album a lot. I remember that.
Yeah, I was debating whether or not to put it on there too, man. It almost made the list. Keep It Hood. Blue Stamp Official. Chill. So yeah, I'm gonna leave it right there though. There's a lot of good stuff this year. So let's quickly go into some of the top stories that happened in 2013. Let's start to Keep It Hip Hop. Rick Ross's UNO rape line.
UNO. I tell you what though. That song just ain't the same without him. I don't even listen to the version without him.
I just heard the song on the radio this week. I was like, wow. Like, even after all that shit, people, you know, the urban radio.
That song's back on radio. You already know.
Dude, the song's dope. Nice, man.
That
dude
can flat out rhyme, man. However, the window in his classic is closing. Not careful. It's gonna end up like Busta Rhymes with a lot of fours and a couple four and a halves, but no five. I would give Rich Forever five, but it don't have a barcode. So, you know, he's gotta deliver on this next one. I just heard the joint with him and Jay-Z. It's not all that, man.
Yeah, it dropped today. I didn't get a chance to do it, but
it was not. This brand X, man.
The Cleveland kidnappings, Ariel Castro.
Yeah, he's a wild boy.
What was homeboy's name that went and kicked in the door and saved him?
Exactly.
That we just call him the hero next door.
Yeah, this fucking dumbass was like, nah, I don't need to walk. I need to give it to the girls. Fuck them. They gonna be alright. Your ass is fucking homeless, dumbass.
I mean, he got a burger named after him, you know. What's his name? Barry. I got the name.
You don't need his name.
No, that's the girl's name, Amanda Barry.
You don't need his name. On to the next one.
I don't know. That was a great story. That was a great story. Great interview too.
Very much so.
Aaron Hernandez, your boy, getting busted doing that.
Three people associated with this case. Dead randomly, yo. You got a voodoo doll in jail? What the fuck's going on?
Dude,
the uncle died. The dude that was in the car died. His girlfriend just died the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I missed that.
He died in a moped crash or some shit. The uncle died in a car crash and she just stopped breathing.
Wow. And they got kids together too, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's no good.
Not his girlfriend, the guy who died in the crash. His girlfriend.
Oh, she might. Oh, well.
No, Aaron's girlfriend just got caught lying on the stand. It says she lied like 29 separate times, man.
Dude, I read somewhere that they like the case against Aaron Hernandez isn't that.
It's not. Put out that guy's testimony, man. He's gonna walk.
He gonna be in a fucking uniform next year.
I know. It's too bad we let him go, man.
He gonna be with the Bengals catching touchdowns. From
I know. You know he's gonna be back on the NFL field, and you know he's gonna be busting ass.
Oh, you know it. Unless the NFL somehow goes out of their way to make sure he never comes back.
Unless they blackball him, Aaron Hernandez has too much talent not to play if he gets off. Listen, live in America. What do they say? Innocent until proven guilty. If you don't prove me guilty, I'm innocent. So, if I'm innocent, show me that money. Let's get this contract on.
The George Zimmerman trial, July 13, acquitted Zimmerman of murdering Trayvon Martin.
His affliction is ongoing.
So that was big news. And then this guy, he just put on eBay one of his first paintings that that he put out there. One of his first paintings, and it's going for almost like $100,000. Supposedly, the bid is like outrageous.
Yep.
Man, I don't know how that guy keeps winning, but
oh, trust me, he's not.
Somebody likes. Yes. Somebody likes him. The Boston Marathon bombing that took place. What is that? In April, I think it was. Yeah. What was it? Killing 3, injuring over 264 people. That was crazy.
Christopher Dorner.
Oh, that's right.
Shook.
Wow.
I salute him, man. For once, those savages knew what it felt like to fear something by just being who you are. And they ended up shooting like 3 people by accident just because they were shook.
Yeah, some family, like a mother and daughter who were like throwing newspapers out.
Delivering papers and shit.
Yeah, oh, they're going to get, you know, they're getting caked up once that lawsuit gets, whenever that finishes.
But see, here's the thing. Some innocent people got shot because they related to the cops, man. You know, I regret that. I don't feel good about that. But as far as the police themselves, man, nobody deserves to die. But that fear, that people of color fear when the police are terrorizing their neighborhoods, they got a little taste of that shit with Dorner.
Yeah, for real, right?
And it didn't taste good, you know? Hopefully, that will be in their minds the next time they try to terrorize people of color in these neighborhoods. They're not automatically criminals, man. You're there to protect and serve society. They pay taxes. They part of society. Stop being that way with people that don't look like you.
Right. For sure. Also, this is a big year for Miley Cyrus. The twerk was the biggest thing. Killing it at the VMAs. The
single word for that savage.
And then also 2013.
Chipped up all over again.
Do you remember that 2013 also brought back the Harlem Shake?
Yeah, but it was some different mutant thing going on. Very strange.
Then what else do we have? Remember the Asian flight that crashed in San Francisco International Airport?
And the savage ass white people for Halloween that dressed as the flight crew?
Oh, did they really? No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, man. White people were off the chain in 2014.
Edward Snowden, the NSA leaks, that was big then in 2013.
He's a fucking traitor. He gets me deserves.
I don't know, man.
It's one thing to say that the government is infringing upon the rights of citizens. That is patriotism. When you start diming out the government to other governments, you're a fucking traitor.
Well, yeah, there you go.
You're a fucking traitor. You're putting us at risk with that shit. You're telling our own allies that we had her bugged. So what happens when the next war come up? And people are trying to get in it. And then everybody else says, you know what? I'm kind of not feeling America like that. I think we'll pass on this one. My son ended up getting a rocket launched at his dumb ass for joining the army because Snowden decided to tell the world that we bugging them. Hey, asshole, you're not in a war. You don't got no kids. You don't have to go over to some country and risk your life and die. So it's not fair for him to say that while we have people in all phases of life all across the world. He's a traitor. He gets what he deserves. You know, it's again, it's one thing to say, yo, the government is spying on us. Fuck the government. I dig it. But you can't do that, man. But somehow, you can't do that, man. This is still the home team. Man. Unless you want to leave.
Right.
If you want to leave, you get what you get.
Yeah. He's gonna be stuck.
You don't think these other countries is experimenting on people and doing wild shit?
Yep. Yeah, so he's gonna be in Russia for a minute. they're gonna get everything they can out of
him.
The Navy Yard shooting that took place in D.C.
Yeah, that was wild, and that was a hit going wrong, man. That guy, extra low frequency, man. Look it up, ELF. The guy flat out said, "This is my ELF level." So that was an experiment going wrong, man. It's not a conspiracy if it's actually true.
Yeah.
Then there was that other strange shit with the black girl who drove into the White House fence and got lit up.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yep. A couple other ones. The government shutdown that lasted 15 days. Remember that? Fun times.
Yeah,
that was BS. The Obama rollout debacle. The website was whack.
Yo, that shit is a disgrace, man. And this guy's supposed to be so fucking smart, man. It's like, come on, man. Like, if that's like running a website and not preparing for 4chan or something like that. Like, it's gonna come. It's gonna happen. Like, you didn't think the Republicans were gonna try a denial of service? I mean, that's a basic. When you're running websites on that kind of level, on a national level, how can you not be prepared for a fucking denial of service attack? You know that they don't want this to succeed. So not only do you not prepare for that shit, which is what happened, because, you know, I got a rinky-dink-ass website, and I can get 3,000 people on there at the same time. I can get 10,000 people in a day. You mean to tell me that the fucking full fiscal might of the federal government can't get a fucking website running that can't have more than 600 people on at the same time? Give me a fucking break, man. You have 4 years to prepare for this shit. That shit passed in 2009, didn't come into effect until 2014. It's 5 years, man. You can't get a fucking website off the ground. That shit does not inspire confidence. And he's the smart one.
So yeah, so it's been a busy year with all the different news. Let's briefly go through some of the celebrity deaths of 2013. Paul Walker, the star of the Fast and Furious movies, died at the age of 40. That was in November, right around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, his girlfriend was like 16, man.
His girlfriend? Oh, his daughter.
That was his girl. His girlfriend's like 23, man. He met her when she was 16, man.
Oh, weird. Oh.
Oh, it's not weird, motherfucker. You know what it is, but yeah.
It's a pretty R. Kelly sick, man. Speaking of R. Kelly, he had a busy week this week with the Village Voice.
I failed as a journalist. I used to carry on the crusade against him too, and I got so tired of fucking people defending his ass that I just stopped. But fuck that animal, man. Seriously.
Yeah. Roger Ebert, age 70, passed away this year.
You know, Roger Ebert was a friend to black cinema, so rest in peace.
James Gandolfini, the star of The Sopranos, abruptly passed away. Chris Kelly from Criss Cross, age 34.
Yeah, that's sad, man. Anytime somebody younger than 40 dies, sad thing.
Yeah. Jean Stapleton, she played Edith on All in the Family.
Yeah. Age 40 here, man. Never play.
She was awesome, man. Age 90, passed away this year. Lisa Robin Kelly, she played Lori on a 70s show. Age 43. Margaret
Thatcher. I don't even remember which one that was.
That was the sister of what's his name in the house. I forgot.
Uh-huh.
She was the sister that sometimes would hook up with Kelso.
Not the hot chick, though, right?
No, not Mila Kumis. Okay. No.
No, the tall redhead. Not her.
No.
Oh,
woo. She was Eric's sister.
Okay.
In the show.
I don't really remember her. Okay. God bless her.
Yeah. Margaret Thatcher, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, the first female Prime Minister, age 87.
She had balls, man. She was an agent of imperialism.
David Frost, age 74, the Nixon interview, famously known for that, yeah. Frost Nixon. Marsha Wallace and the Krabappel. I don't know.
It's Krabappel.
Krabappel, but the voice of the Simpsons, age 70. Dennis Farina, he was known in Goodfellas.
Yeah, man. Chicago cop.
Yeah, he was a cop turned actor at age 69. Yeah. Paul Bearer, age 58, wrestling. And then lastly, I have Tom Clancy, The Hunt for Red October books, age 66.
Yeah, and some guy named Mandela. It's only been talked about for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, we covered him last episode, but yeah, thanks for throwing him in there.
95 is a nice run, man.
No kidding, right? All right, well, Odizo, man, it's been a pleasure as always. Another year's knocked down for Illside Radio. We're gonna turn it up in 2014 as we always do.
We're gonna go live, man.
I know, right? Well, yeah, for sure. Maybe hey, if you guys listeners want to chip in for us to go live on Blog Talk, you know, get that Prime Premium hour, we'll take your money. Don't be shy. All right, man. Well, I know. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Illside Radio, on WordPress, illsideradio.wordpress.com, planetill.com, mybsideblock.com, and also stream us on Mixcloud, Hulkshare, and on iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe to the show there. Odizo, have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you again afterwards.
Too, man. Eat lots of turkey and apple pie and all the other delicious holiday shit.
Never going to lose weight at this rate. I never.
No. You only lost like 50 pounds, dude.
I know, but keep giving it back. That's not a good thing. All right, everybody. Have a great holiday, everybody. All right, later.